Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you all to worship here with us this morning at Providence Presbyterian Church. It's good to see everybody on a bright, sunny day as compared to last week's deluge. So welcome you all. I'd ask that you find the pads at the end of the pews and sign your name, please, so that we'll know that you are here and can also share your names up and down the pew so you'll know who was sitting next to you at the end of worship. Are there any announcements? Lee?
Just to let everyone know, there will be two people at the in the Hope Room selling Easter cards. And if you haven't had an opportunity to see what a number of people have contributed to this year in making these cards, check it out. It's really very interesting. The proceeds from these Easter cards will go to support the digging of water wells at the Chisefu Theological School. So please check it out.
Others?
Like to remind, okay.
Sharon, Michael has an announcement.
My name is Michael Duff. I am a Boy Scout in Troop 28, and I am selling tickets for our troop's annual fundraiser, the World's Greatest Pancake Breakfast. It's where you come to the Central Congregational Church on Saturday, March 3rd. From 8 to 11, and we cook you breakfast. It's all you can eat, French toast, pancakes, everything. And I have single tickets and family tickets, and if you would like to buy a ticket or make a donation, please see me at coffee hour.
May 3rd, it's a breakfast you don't want to miss.
I'd like to remind you that Tuesday nights together, we'll have our final one this coming Tuesday night. Pastor Chris will continue her series on stewardship, which is a variety of things besides just giving to the church. And also there is the continuation of the Bible study, the lectionary readings for this coming week. The potluck is casserole night. So that would be what everybody's asked to bring to share, but salads and desserts always go over well as well. Also, I would like to remind you that there are Easter plants that you can buy. If you'll see Jill Moles after worship during coffee hour, she'll be glad to help you purchase some of the flowers that will be used, and they can be dedicated to, in somebody's memory, but we will use them Easter morning, and it'll be this just nice bright blossoming of spring flowers. So if you'd like to contribute to that, you're welcome to do so. Also remind you that Friday night is the youth movie night at 7 o'clock. And one final announcement. I don't know if Janet wants to say anything or not, but on... Do you want to say anything, Janet?
About Saturday.
We would like to invite you to celebrate with us on Ashley's adoption on the 12th, that's this coming Saturday, 3 to 5 o'clock. Bring your swimsuits, especially the children, so that we can enjoy together and celebrate. It's been sponsored by the classmates of the kids, and we really would love all of you to be there to celebrate with us. You have been a big part of having Ashley come here. God bless you.
That's 3 to 5 on Saturday. Let Janet know if you're coming, because there's going to be pizza and cake, I'm told, too. So, and the more information is on the news board in the Hope Room.
Any others? Okay, let us worship together by sharing in our call to worship. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice.
Hope in the Lord.
For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem.
Let us come and worship the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you all on such a wonderful spring day outside. Join me in standing as we sing, Mighty to Save.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save.
Proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach God with confidence and faith and penitence. Let us join together in our prayer of confession, first silently and then in unison. Let us pray. God of the living and the dead, we confess that sometimes we are more dead than alive to the possibilities you place before us. In the midst of pain, unfairness, and destructive forces on all sides, we see little hope. We are paralyzed in our own little worlds. We seem powerless to change even a little. Where do we go for the power to face and overcome a world that denies resurrection? Oh God, we want to find the new life which triumphs over death and the grave. Forgive our dullness and grant us new vision and vitality. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Know that we are forgiven and be at peace. Amen. Thank you.
this is the time in our worship that we share joys and concerns of the community, and we will gather them forth for prayer together here. Are there joys and concerns from this side of the congregation?
I'd like continued prayers for Walter, and I'd like prayers for my brother, Bill Babcock, who has Parkinson's disease. And I'd also like prayers for the Committee on Ministry, which will be meeting on Wednesday.
Committee on Ministry, Bill and Walter.
Well, I want to share a joy, and that is that they haven't deported Antonio yet, so there's a lot of hope. And I want to thank all of you for writing to Chafee or communicating with him. And also, I want to share the good news that the Black and Latino Caucus is also going to meet with Chafee to ask him to, you know, pass an executive order to get away with the ICE hole, which it will contribute to end deportation of so many working immigrant families in the state. So with that, I want to ask all of us to continue praying so that, you know, Chafee's heart will get softened and he will do this. And I know that he can do it, and he has the heart to do this. So let's just continue praying.
Prayers for Antonio and his family as they are celebrating that he has not gone, and prayers for the work that we have yet to do in immigration.
Today marks 2 years since my sister went home to be with the Lord, and I want us to thank God for the healing that he has continued to give me and the healing that he's giving Ashley. And also thank God that after these 2 years, her wish and her request to me that Ashley would come home, it has been fulfilled, that she's here with us. Thank God for provision that he has provided through that 2 years that have been very difficult, but we are so grateful. And amidst the pain, we have a reason to rejoice and to give praise to God. Thank you.
We pray for all of Nellie's family in this time here and in Kenya.
Good morning. I like prayers for one of my friends. Her mother died on Genevieve Allen. Good. Yeah, I'll be accompanying her to Virginia. So, any prayers?
Prayers for Esther's friend Genevieve, whose mother died, and Esther's going to be accompanying her to Virginia for the services.
Many of you may know my mother. She's 72, and she's been working tirelessly up until Friday. But she was laid off, and she's a little nervous about the future. So just prayers for her. She should be retiring. She's not considering herself retired just yet, but. But I think just prayers for her as she enters a new phase in her life. Her name is Donna Marburger. And so just hopefully things are going to be good for her ahead.
I just want to ask for prayers for somebody that I work with. His name is Mike Messier. And he's going through some struggles right now. So just prayers for him.
I just want to say thank you for your prayers for my grandmother and my family. We attended my grandmother's funeral last weekend, and it was a really good time to be with family and celebrate her life. And so thank you for your prayers, and prayers for my aunt as she transitions. She's been a caretaker of my grandmother and my uncle for many years, and she seems to be doing very well, but prayers for her too. Thank you.
I have a joy, and I have a concern too. My joy is, thank God, my house is sold. But I don't know where I'm moving to, because I haven't decided, but I will move. Friday is my last day to stay over there. because the body is telling me to move, but the mind is telling me to stay. So I don't know what I'm moving to, but I will still balance these two and figure out where I have to move to. And my concern is, I think everybody knows, last Thursday, is when my wife passed away. I think most of you know. So please, all I ask you to pray for her. Whatever she says, her soul may rest in peace.
Prayers definitely for Nicholas in these days. Last Thursday was the first anniversary of his wife Terry's death. And he is moving, and he is seeking wisdom and leads on housing for the next step now that the celebration and the joy of selling this house is there. But it's a big, big, big group of emotions around that. Others. Okay. You're going to have to walk.
Thank you. I want to thank God for his mercy in saving my son. He had an emergency quadruple bypass on Wednesday, and he was lucky to arrive at the hospital, saved a life. And he's coming along one day at a time. And I'm grateful my son, Eric, is here from California. And I ask for prayers for all my family.
Good morning. Two brief things, just as an update on my sister Tiffany. She's finally done with all the chemotherapy for leukemia and is, I think, doing quite well. There's some sort of follow-up that has to be done, but thank you so much for your prayers for the past 7 or 8 months. It has truly sustained her, I'm sure, in many ways. The second thing is many of you know that we're moving to Chicago for 6 months, starting in July, and so this is really a plea for all of you hiding in the woodwork who have musical abilities or who want to help to lead the worship team in the Fisher Clan's absence, please come see me, Phil Chan, I'm talking to you, and other people like that. so please come talk to me afterwards if you have a desire to join in between now and July, but especially between July and December. Thank you.
I'm not musical right now, thank you. I just would like to thank this congregation for always praying for my brother Jim. I was just returned from Pennsylvania. He's doing very well, and he really is a walking witness to God's prayers, and thank you for my journey too.
So I'm going to summarize a little bit here. Prayers for Jim and his continued recovery from cancer. Prayers for Dorothea's son Donald, who had emergency bypass surgery this week after a heart attack. And some of you may remember that just 2 weeks ago, we were praying for good news for his wife's breast biopsy, which we got. But that family has been through a lot. And it's a joy to see Eric here from California with Dorothy. So I'll come around to both sides again.
I'm playing viola.
All right. Okay, sign Harrison up for music. Yeah, well, he'll be back. He has 6 months to practice.
I just want to ask prayers on behalf of Gus Lee, who is on the Confirmand's retreat right now, for his grandfather, after whom he is named. He's a retired Episcopal minister, and he has been suffering with Alzheimer's for a long time, and he's in a sudden decline now. So I just want to ask for, for the family, for a blessing of a time here.
Prayers for Gus's grandfather.
Our youth have been on retreat all weekend. And these are children that are discerning whether and when, you know, they will make their statement of faith and come and join with us as members of this congregation. And I just ask that we would pray mightily for them and give them discernment and direction and help them understand how much God loves them and how much we love them.
And thank God for their leaders, Juliet Chan and Bob and Ginny Smanek. And I will be back. they're popping up all over here. There are 13 in the confirmation class.
We had very few prayers last week. We only had like two, so I guess we're making up for it today. I'd just like to ask prayers for my brother and sister-in-law. Actually, it's Providence's brother, Peter, who's in the final stages of cancer.
Gary in Providence. Gary. Her name is Providence. That's why I'm confused. Okay. Prayers for Gary and Providence.
And for Peter. In the final
day. Nancy and I are seeking prayers for our Rhode Island grandson, Liam, who's been suffering from an undiagnosed illness for some 7 weeks. He has some more tests tomorrow. We don't know. No one knows exactly what's going on with him.
Prayers for the Ramsey's grandson, Liam. Thank you all for those of you who've been praying for my parents. Last Sunday, I was in worship at the church that sponsored me to become a pastor, where I also served as an intern 30 years ago, and participated in a liturgy of goodbye for my parents from that church where they've been active for 40 years. And I would like your prayers this week. My mother had a PET scan on Friday with probable cancer, and so we want prayers for, on top of everything else that they're dealing with, that we would have wisdom and discernment in these days.
It is a blessing when a family like this can share their joys and concerns. I hope you realize how special it is. Let us pray. Oh God, we come before you today celebrating the fact that there is sunshine and signs of spring, and it always reminds us that with you there is always the possibility of life and new life. We pray, oh God, that you will be with the leaders of this nation and all nations, that they may be led by you, by your wisdom, not by greed or desire for power. We pray for our legislators as they consider immigration reform in this country. We pray for those who have been separated, sometimes rather violently, from their families to be deported, imprisoned, detained. Oh God, we pray that you will be with our leaders, that they may discern a better way. Be with Antonio and his family. We pray for the work of your church, oh God. Be with the Presbytery's Committee on Ministry as they meet this week. Grant them an understanding of their work as they deal with congregations and their pastors and leaders. We pray that you will be with our confirmands as they continue and end their retreat today. Grant all of those young people discernment in their decision making. We pray your blessings upon them, whatever their decisions may be. We pray, O God, that you'll be with our PNC as they continue their work. May they be led to find the co-pastor that will be the best match for this congregation. And we pray that you will be with the Fisher family as they go on sabbatical and will be in Chicago for 6 months this year. May their work there be blessed. But we also pray that you will lead members of this congregation to fill the void that they will leave behind with the worship band. Help us all to identify our gifts and see where we might contribute to the work of your church. We pray, O Lord, for those who grieve and who continue to grieve. And God, we know that even after a year or even two, that there still is a void that never ends. We pray especially that you will be with the family of Janet and her sister's family. We're thankful for them that the journey that has brought Ashley here has finally brought Ashley here, but there still is pain for Nellie's family. We pray that you will be with them. We pray also that you will be with Nicholas, who is continuing to grieve not only Terry's death, but also the selling of the house which they shared. Be with him as he celebrates having the house sold, but at the same time as he deals with the uncertainty of where his life will go next and where he will live. We pray, O God, that you will be with all of those who must live with uncertainty. People like Dawn, who has been laid off and is not sure exactly where her life will go from here. We pray for those who have been caregivers and who now will no longer be caregiving and are not sure exactly how to fill that void. We pray, O God, for all of those who have been lifted in prayers today for healing. Be with Walter and Bill. We pray that Donald will continue to make the steps towards recovery. Give him and his family patience for the long healing process ahead. We pray for Jim's continued wellness, and we thank you that he has done so well after his treatments. We thank you that Lynn's sister has completed her chemo. We pray that that will surely be a cure for the cancer, that she will now regain health and strength and thrive. We pray that you will be with all of those who are dealing with uncertain illnesses, things that have been left undiagnosed. Be with Liam and his family as they wonder exactly what is wrong with him. And be with Pastor Chris's family as they await the results of the PET scan. Help them to have discernment in terms of what choices they make at this point. Be with her parents as they transition from their own apartment to assisted living. Be with them, we pray, God. Be with all of those who must face changes and uncertainty. None of us like change, God, and it's so difficult. We pray that you'll be with Mike, who is struggling. We pray that you will be with all of those whose hearts might hurt and yet might have difficulty finding ways to express what it is that makes them hurt. Be with those who must live in the midst of violence, whether it's in their homes or in their countries. We pray, O God, that your peace might reign everywhere. For those who must live in the midst of violence, we pray that they will find ways to feel your presence and to have a peace within, at least. And help us not to turn and look away from these situations that make us uncomfortable. We pray, O God, that you may answer prayers and help us to recognize your answers, and help us also to recognize that sometimes your answers, no. We come to you confidently, God, as your children, knowing that you do answer prayer. And we pray as your Son taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, the children can go to their classes. Children 3 through kindergarten are in godly play. And 1st through 5th grade can go down to the We Believe class. Family room is open upstairs for families with children.
Let us seek the illuminating presence and voice of our gracious Lord. Let us pray. Merciful God, as you have spoken to and reached out to all peoples of all ages and times and places, even so we pray that you would speak to us this day through these gospel words. Help us to hear and to heed them. Amen. Let us now be open to God so that we may hear and accept all that God is saying to us today in John chapter 11, verses 1, and then 17 through 45. Hear the speaking of God to us. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and said to her and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The word of the Lord. This is. Let us sing together. Thank you.
Okay, so it's an Easter hymn. What can I say? One of the great blessings of preaching just once a month is that one has the opportunity to work ahead on sermons a little bit. However, that does not account for the times at which God speaks a word to you when you travel to your parents and says, "That's not the sermon I want you to preach," when you come back. So this has changed somewhat dramatically in a very dramatic text since I last looked at it and then returned back to Providence. This is the lectionary text for this Sunday, a text of resurrection, a text of resurrection of a man who we know very, very little about. We know more about his sisters, Mary and Martha of Bethany. We read about them in Luke's gospel. We know quite a bit about them and their journey with belief and faith and trust in Jesus Christ from previous stories. And we read quite a bit about them in this excerpt of this text, about half of the actual story. I encourage you to go back and read the whole of this chapter, not just this portion. But of Lazarus, we know quite little. When we consider the family together, however, we know that this is a family that Jesus was much involved with. We read of several encounters of Jesus visiting with them rather dramatically, with rather dramatic teachings. We know that he cared deeply about them. We read about that in the story. We know that Lazarus' sisters felt that Jesus was going to do something truly miraculous for their brother if only and when he knew that Lazarus was sick. We know, too, that this is the period of time in Scripture, in Jesus' story, as things are intensifying for him as he nears Jerusalem. And yet, with this family that he knows so well, when he hears that Lazarus is sick, he doesn't go. He doesn't go to the family. He stays away, not just until Lazarus dies, but until Lazarus is really dead, not just sort of dead. It was a common belief in those days that the soul remained in the vicinity of the body for 3 days, hoping to rejoin the body. And on the fourth day, the soul would finally face reality and depart because there was no hope of resuscitation. 4 days before Jesus came to this family. 4 days means it is hopeless. We hear in the story Mary, Martha first's testimony of the power of Jesus to heal. Jesus meets separately with both Mary and Martha in this time, and both of them say the same thing. "Lord, we knew that if you had been here, our brother would not have died." We hear it from the people we expect to have the faith to know that Jesus can heal their brother, from Mary and Martha. They have seen him do it. They know his power. We hear it from the community that surrounds them in their grief. "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Pastor Glenn read. Isn't it interesting to consider that it's Martha, the one who goes out to meet him first, who seems to get the message that this isn't the end of the story so clearly? Martha, that one, you know, in the kitchen who was trying to do the dinners. Martha hears and goes first to Jesus. And Jesus journeys to the tomb with Mary. He journeys to the tomb in a very public event in front of all of these people who have gathered with Mary and Martha in this time. In the chaos of this scene, I think it's important for us to remember and
see that the raising of Lazarus takes place in community. It's not just between Jesus and Lazarus, but there are a lot of people there, a lot of people who believe different things about what Jesus did or didn't do in this circumstance. We've talked much in recent weeks about the ways in which God transforms us as individuals and mountaintop experiences. In the life of Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the man born blind, and certainly that is how most of us experience transformation in our own selves and hope to witness to it with our lives. But the beauty of this story is how many people are shaped by this miracle that Jesus accomplishes. Wrestle with it and respond to it and witness the power of resurrection, but are also somewhat threatened by a power they cannot control. And so the question is in the air for us, many, many of us in these days, as we look at the world around us, at the events of this week and recent weeks in our community, in our world, as we look at our own circumstances in our families and in the situations of those we love and in ourselves. This, for us, this Lazarus story is a story of great emotion, of honest emotion, of trust, of faith, of questioning. And yet, it is also a powerful story that death isn't the end of the story. Unbind him and let him go, Jesus commands. An unbinding power of Jesus Christ brings forth freedom from death here, but also to new life. Jesus audibly appeals to God in this before he speaks the cry to Lazarus. Lazarus, come out. And to the people, unbind him and let him go. And then we don't hear anything else about Lazarus. Oh, how I wish I knew what Lazarus did with this great healing. That he went on to do great things for God, for Jesus, but we don't know. We read in future verses of John's gospel, and you can read ahead and see it, we read that Martha goes back to the kitchen to cook again for Jesus. We read that Mary anoints Jesus' feet with oil, his head with oil. She knows where he is going, the death he is about to suffer. But what happened to Lazarus once he came out and was unwrapped? Unbind him and let him go. As I've thought about that a lot, as I've tried to see if maybe I just didn't know my Bible well enough and that Lazarus really has some story somewhere that that is in our Bible that I was missing, I have come to think that Lazarus is the person we are supposed to identify with in this story. I have preached in 25 years of ministry about three other sermons on this text, all of them about the faith of Mary and Martha in seeing the resurrection power. But I think the story is about Lazarus. I mean, that may not surprise you because he's the one who was raised, actually. Unbind him and let him go. I think Lazarus is, for us, the person that we are called to be when we are unbound and let go for Christ. I think Lazarus is the person that we are called to be when we are unbound and let go for Christ. I've been challenged as a pastor to see Pastor B's preaching style that goes away from her microphone, and now mine's not even working, so. Goes away from her microphone, her text, to preach. Now that was working. I had a very powerful experience of someone who was unbound and let free in my first call to ministry. Bernice Wall was 6'3" and probably weighed less than me a long time ago when I weighed even less. And Bernice was active in the choir, in the ministries of the life of that congregation. Bernice had a bright yellow suit that was the color of sunshine. It was the brightest thing I'd ever seen, which she wore regularly to church on Sundays. On her 60th birthday, Bernice decided to celebrate by having rotator cuff surgery in the local hospital. And as was my practice, I would go to visit, trying to be kind of at the end of the surgery to meet with the family, because I knew that when they tell you surgery is supposed to be over and it's never over then, families get nervous. So I was there when the surgeon came out to talk to Mike and said, "We went to fix Bernice's rotator cuff and found that it wasn't a rotator cuff problem after all, but that she has cancer in her bones." 60th birthday. Bernice and Mike went to the oncologist and decided that there really wasn't much except for life-prolonging measures to be had by anything with radiation or chemo. And so she opted not to have any further treatment. Bernice, for this congregation of 2,000 people in the next 3 months of her life, was an amazing witness to what God can do in one's life when you put your trust in God. I was reminded of that yesterday as we celebrated the life of Denise Soares, a pastor in our presbytery who died about a month ago. And one of her children said that when Denise was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer about a year ago, she told all three of her children that what she wanted most from them was to keep a journal of joy. She wanted them to find three things in each day that they could be joyful about. Her youngest daughter said, "At first I said, there's absolutely no way I'm going to do that. I can't find anything joyful in this moment." But she said that was one of the greatest gifts that my mother gave me, because by the end of the year of this time, I had a hard time choosing just three joys. Bernice lived like that. Bernice planned her whole funeral service, her whole memorial service. She was great training for me, for someone who was very honest in what they liked and didn't like. She was great training for this congregation for me. She told it like it was. And she said to me, she said, after she had given me the outline for the service that she wished me to play the part of the preacher in, she said, "And I want you to read this card when you come to this," and I think I've told this to some of you before. She said, "This is one of the cards that many people sent me, because I told people to send me cards as much as possible, the funniest you could find," and she got some really funny cards. But this one, she said, "I want you to read at the close of my memorial service," and she said, and she handed it to me. And on the cover of it was a rose. And she said, "Some people wonder why roses have thorns. I wonder why thorns have roses." Bernice is a witness to me of the kind of being unbound that Jesus is talking about here in the raising of Lazarus. It's a blessing as a pastor to see so many people live into that unbound time. Lord, if you had been here, Mary and Martha say, when we face physical or spiritual death, there's only one antidote for it: resurrection and life. And it comes to us through believing in Jesus and through trusting him to be at work for unexpected new life in every time, place, and situation. The promise of the story of Lazarus is not that we will never suffer tragedy, nor is it that God will never let us or the ones we love die, nor is it that once dead, Jesus will give us back our physical life upon this earth even. Instead, the promise is that God is here to walk with us through all of life, even the hard times. Maybe especially through the hard times, through the valley of the shadow of death. And it is a promise that God redeems his people again and again. Some centuries ago, Julian of Norwich, a Christian mystic, put it this way: God said not, thou shalt not be tempested, thou shalt not be travailed, thou shalt not be afflicted, but God said, thou shalt not be overcome. Will you pray with me? God of the empty tomb, we long for the fullness of life you offer on both sides of the grave. May the one who is the resurrection and the life call forth our faith, summoning us out of the tombs that deaden our spirits, so that we may embrace the joys and possibilities of life that come to us in relationship with you and with all your creation. Amen.
Let us rise and declare our faithfulness to our faithful God using the portion of the brief statement of faith that is printed in the bulletin. With one voice, let us say what we believe to be true. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. With joy and gratitude, let us offer up to God ourselves and our tithes and offerings. Thank you. generous God of every good and abundant blessing, with praise we offer to you our full selves, our time, our hopes and dreams, our pain and sufferings, our joy and our thanksgiving. And we return to you a growing portion of the blessings and treasures that you have entrusted to us. May our offering express our faithful commitment to you, and may our offering be blessed by your holy and powerful presence. In the name of the Christ, amen.
Joyful feast of the people of God. People will come from north and south and east and west to sit at table with the Lord our God. Our scriptures tell us that when the men were walking along the road with Jesus, after he had risen, he was walking along with them and they were then stopped for a meal. And they sat at table with him, and when they broke bread together, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. It is not a Presbyterian table. It is a table that is open to anyone who seeks to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, to be nourished by this feast, and to join in thanksgiving with their lives. Please join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
To give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place. As the bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Amen.
Hear the words of the institution of our Lord's Supper. On the night of his arrest, after our Lord had broken bread with his disciples, he took bread and after he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, after they had eaten of the bread, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood. For the forgiveness of sins. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my life and death till I shall come again." The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you. What thou art.